I got my guy, Rick Lucchini, here for the first episode, and I'm still kind of debating what I want to call FA Confidential, FA Unfiltered, so we're just going to leave that to the people to decide. But this show is strictly about one thing. We're talking about getting into the underbelly of the industry, and my man here, Rick, him, I hear the way he talks on his shows and what he does. And this is the guy I said, you know what? Who do I want my first guest to be? Let me call my man Rick. Yeah. And let's have a conversation about the industry and specifically the industry that we came from. Rick, thank you for joining the show today, my man.
Yeah, I love it, dude. And if you picked the right guy, if you wanted to be unfiltered for the first episode, there's no surprise why you came here first. I love it. I feel like starstruck a little bit that I'm on with you. I feel like I know you from LinkedIn and stuff. This is the first time we've ever actually spoken. I guess we're not in person, but live.
Yeah.
So this is awesome. I'm excited to get into it. We both came from the same place, started in the insurance industry, ended up in the same place, owning our own RIA. Super interesting. I want to get into it right now. I think it's going to help a lot of people, especially the young advisor saying, where do I start? How do I become Kevin Thompson?
Man, no, Kevin Thompson, you don't want to become me, man. Become both of us, man. That's how we do this business. But you and I have come from the underbelly, man. Like, we've seen the back offices, the back rooms. We've seen how they talk about their clients. They talk about the advisors in their agencies. We've come from that world. And one thing we're going to do, because we're going to be very careful, because we don't need any people knocking at our door saying, hey, here's a cease and desist or a lawsuit. So we're going to keep the names out of this thing.
Yeah, they're all
we're
going to
get very,
matter.
Very
yeah.
deep. So I came from a place, and I'm going to be very clear, named after a Marvel movie. Hey, see how I did that? You came from a place and that was solid as a rock, I'm assuming. But at the end of the day, we've come from these places that have these tricks of the trade, right? The tricks of the trade. So let's start there. I feel, and there's a huge IUL, VUL, and all that debate, but I truly believe that it's not an issue as with the advisors, but the industry itself. So let's talk about that. And we're going to start with the recruiting and what we've seen in the business, right?
Yeah.
100%. They throw spaghetti against the wall. They get your mom and dad in there. Hey, sell them. They need this product. But they're selling things that they don't understand. So I'm throwing it back to you.
Yeah.
How often did you see just that? You're in the business for a couple of months. You got your insurance license. The next thing you know, you're supposed to go out there and sell a complicated product.
How else are you supposed to make any money? And this is so top of mind because I literally just got a call from a kid who graduated Penn State, or he's about to graduate Penn State with a finance degree, basically wants to know how he becomes us.
Yeah.
Right. Also mentioned on the side that he just signed a contract with one of these insurance companies we talk about. And I said, well, the first thing you should do is rip that up and then follow these five steps. But it's super interesting because now I came into the business in 2008.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but that was a long time ago.
Hey, nothing happened in 2008, by the way.
Nah, I know. Super sailing. Easy. I recited to him exactly what they told him. And he was like, sounds like you were in the room.
Yeah.
Like, nothing has changed.
What's funny about what you're saying is that how things haven't changed, but things remain the same. And what scares me the most is because they're having these people go out there and sell these products, not understanding what they're selling. And like I said on a podcast recently, I said, what the real issue is that you got these guys who go and sell these complicated products, not understand what the products are, say that they're going to be doing all these great things. And then 2 to 3 years go by, they can't make a contract. They can't hit their quotas. They're out of the business. And guess who's left holding the bag? Me. I you sold me this supposed to be the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
But now I don't know what I need to do with it, right? I mean, it's just a crazy, crazy situation.
Well, let's go there for a minute. From my experience, you know, I know that IULs and stuff are super exciting right now. That's what everybody's talking about. My drug of choice was annuities because that's what they wanted sold. IULs didn't really exist back then.
Yeah.
It's all the same though, because what happens is there's a reason that they're going after people that don't know anything fresh out of college. They're going to train you only what they want you to know. Okay. So I didn't walk around thinking I'm doing wrong by people or I'm like a scumbag. I thought I was doing exactly what the guy who drove the BMW in the nice suit told me to do, because this is how these are 11 reasons why it's so good for everybody. That's all I knew. Okay. So it, unfortunately, I'm a slow learner. It took me a long time to like see the other side of it and like completely change my life around this. But at that time, I thought I was doing good work.
Why does it feel like we're having, like we're coming to this conclusion, like we're coming out of a cult? You know what I mean? Like it really did. Like I remember I was, everybody went to this one little show and the guy was like, K's are bad. Whole life is the answer to all things that are, it's like he was holding up the tablets. Like Moses came down, yeah. You know, the Holy Grail. And I sent everybody a text cause I wasn't even in the room. I sent a text of the Kool-Aid man breaking out of the wall.
No shit.
And everybody started getting mad. Like the people in the agency were like, how dare you do that? This is not right. But that's exactly what it is. It's Kool-Aid, man.
Yeah.
It's Jim Jones, Kool-Aid. This is what you're drinking. And this is how you build the best life for you and your family. And you go out and tell everybody that.
Yeah. And here's what I want the consumer, our clients and people out there to know. It was worse back like pre-DOL rule when I was doing it. Like, it's just like the government does with taxes or anything else. Everything that is incentivized, what they want you to focus on is incentivized. So they're going to say, hey, by the way, good luck, buddy. Go out there and do whatever's in the best interest of the client. But if it just happens to be this thing, we'll pay you 5 times more than if it's this thing. Well, guess what? You can be the nicest guy, the most honest guy in the world, your brain's going to start making reasons for that thing to be the best thing in the client's best interest. You start coming up with ways and they tell you 11 different ways. That's why these IUL things is like, oh, you can use it as retirement. You can use it as your own bank. All this.
It's a Swiss Army knife, man.
It's a Swiss Army knife when really all it is insurance. The conflict of interest is there even for the best person.
Yeah.
And for anybody less than that, it's evil.
Yeah. Well, let's just be fair. I always have to be fair, right? If I was in the business of annuities, I'd be selling annuities. I'd be selling life insurance. If I was in the business of just wire housing, maybe private equity, private credit is the name of the game right now. So everyone is susceptible to this. What I will also say is how much of the issue is public policy, right? Like you're giving like public policy, rates of return, growth in the name of growth, go do what you got to do. And then if something were to happen, public policy comes back and says, oh, well, we're going to put some regulation in place to monitor this. But right now in the insurance business, it's still like balls to the wall.
Well, our whole industry.
We'll put a little bit of DOL over here and fiduciary standard, but yeah, go ahead.
Our whole industry is bullshit when it comes to that. And I can remember the DOL going in.
Yeah.
Everybody in our company, including me, was like, oh my God, we're going to have to like write down why we sold an annuity. Oh, we're going to have to like fucking tell somebody why we did this. Like it was scary shit. Like I can remember like I'm going to lose my way of life.
And this being liable for something is one thing. Like, you should be liable for what you sell. You should be liable for the advice that you give, but they don't want any liability.
But here's why it wasn't an impact. Here's why the next DOL won't be an impact. Here's why this industry still is looked at in a sales lens.
Yeah.
Because as soon as that started happening and there was good intent, all of the insurance companies put their money together, sent the lobbyists to DC, and they beat that thing down to like almost unrecognizable so that they could all continue to do what they were doing and still make the same amount of money. That's what it really comes down to. So now if I'm a consumer and I'm looking for a retirement planner, it's really hard to differentiate between Kevin Thompson today and Kevin Thompson 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Because you're allowed to call yourself an advisor. You're allowed to call yourself whatever. We don't want to go into the CFP thing right now, but anybody can get a freaking CFP.
Yeah.
It does not separate you. It does not hold you to a higher standard. But like, that's what the problem really is there's nothing wrong with selling an insurance. It's that you should be selling insurance to someone that got a prescription for insurance by someone that knows what the hell they're doing.
Well, I'm going to say the words of the CFP, Rich Duccini here, those were his words, not mine. Just that right,
bring it, CFP, bring it on, bro. I don't care. I know.
I'm just kidding with you.
Yeah, I don't care. Because because the truth is, like, at my former company, there was plenty of guys that had CFPs that didn't do a stitch of planning. And so if they can get away with that, then it doesn't hold me or anybody else to a higher standard. We won't go there.
Yeah.
If they want to bring it to me, I'm happy to have that conversation. Hey, listen, I had designations. I don't even put them after my name.
Yeah. So I remember going into the business, right? I came in. I was supposed to be the investment specialist for the firm.
Awesome.
And Kevin, and I told him specifically, I'm not an insurance salesman. I'm not going to sell any insurance. You don't have to sell any insurance. Don't worry about it. And then 2 weeks later, hey, man, we need to get your insurance license going.
I mean, you're already here.
Exactly. Oh, but we're going to do this. We're going to put you on cases. We're going to manage this, all this stuff, because we want you to build this wonderful investment arm for us. So that's what I did for about 8-9 years with them. And it was okay. But I just know the back office conversations, not only do that they have about the advisors, the quote unquote advisors in the agency.
Well, you're just a production number. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Cause I was in the leadership room and I was like, man, they're talking this way about people. And not only that, what they say about clients behind their back, like after a Zoom call or something. Oh my God. It's like,
and it really is a sales org. That's the way it is. And so that client is not only led down a path to buy a product.
Yes.
But more importantly, then they're organized to say this person, and they have pretty sophisticated systems now. This person is not likely to buy another product for 5 years. So don't fucking talk to them for 5 years and waste your time. And then when this date hits, start soliciting them again because they'll be valuable again. Meanwhile, this person has all these life decisions, all these financial decisions. Never once have I said the word tax my whole 12 years that I was there because we weren't even allowed. Like, this is not financial advice. This is not financial planning. This is sales. And I want to be super clear about something. If you want to sell life insurance or annuity products or anything like that, I think that's great. Just be clear that that's what you do and don't mask it as financial planning. And here's a great model. Here's a great person to look at if you want to go into that business. The Brock Buckles of the world, who is literally saying, you, Kevin, write the prescription. You give the recommendation, and then I'll come in and be the insurance expert and close that loop for you. They doesn't go right to the client and say, I'm going to give you a retirement plan and it's going to end up in life insurance. He's going to the advisors and saying, you give the recommendation because you have the plan and I'll close the loop and get them the best policy that meets your recommendation. That's the right way to sell insurance, in my opinion. And that's just not being done enough.
Well, I got my own opinion around that because again,
I know,
like,
you do. I know, and we don't agree with it.
No. Yeah, that's not agreeing. It's just like, no, my opinion is this. How difficult is it truly? If you already call yourself a fiduciary, which is that, I think it's a bogus term. I'm sorry. It is what it is. Yeah. You can have a little conversation about that, right? Yeah. But if you call yourself this, how are you telling me that, oh, you already have the information, but you know what? I'm just going to give that to someone else to do. And now the liability, think about it. The liability, if you make a mistake, because I gave them 3 or 4 names. Now, if and when you make a mistake, because I'm already dealing with a client with a tax issue right now. So how does that make me look like, hey, you told me about this guy. They gave me this policy. What does this look like? You know what? I'm already making the recommendation. This is, you need a 10-year term. This is ready. Go get it over here. If I'm already doing that, why not be compensated for it or just do it myself?
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
I know that you feel that way. And I don't think there's anything wrong with what you're doing. I know for me, because of my past trauma, I don't want to put myself in that position. It's okay that you do.
Yeah.
Here's where I would close that loop for you and we'll move on to something else. I know a couple of guys that do that, and including you, I would trust every one of them to do that start to finish for my mother.
Yeah.
The problem is not everyone is you.
I got you.
And so if you just take that away, now the consumer can go to a retirement planner and get retirement planning. They can go to an insurance person and get insurance, and there's no confusion. And so that's my only concern. I have no problem with you doing it. Mm. The reason that I don't do it is because of that just trauma that I had before. I wanted to separate myself from that so much, and it's probably doing myself a disservice. There's a whole arm of revenue that I'm giving away, but it just feels cleaner to me.
I got you. I felt the exact same way when I walked away from the business. I was like, you know what? I'm never going to have this conversation. But again, I have 4 whole life insurance policies and they're working for me. You know what I mean? Like, I would never sit here and say that everybody needs to do this, because that's not the case. Not everybody needs whole life insurance or permanent life insurance. I tell people this all the time. I said, you know what? You will never, never go wrong by putting term on a person's balance sheet, even convertible term on the balance sheet,
right,
and then having a conversation at a later date. Not going to go wrong with that. What you can go wrong is putting permanent life insurance on a balance sheet and a person not being ready for it, and that lapsing 6-8 months later. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
But it happens far too much.
I want to give you a quick story about, kind of sums all this up, of an experience that I had. It changed the course of my career. And basically what happened was, I was writing an annuity, and I promise you, like, I can say it's someone blue in the face. I never thought I was getting one over on somebody. I thought, like, this is how you get guaranteed income. This is what they were telling me. Like,
this is what they tell you.
It's like good for people.
Yeah.
I'm selling this annuity. It's, at the time, I don't know, $250,000. It would have been a pretty big nut at the time. And it's right around Christmas time. And at the time, I was a high enough producer that they would express commission. So as soon as it went through compliance, they'd pay me.
Boom.
Had to get it signed, got it signed, sent everything in. And there was an issue. I forget what it was. Mm-hmm. Something wasn't initialed or some bullshit.
Yeah.
The client's like, yeah, cool, whatever. We'll catch up after Christmas. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It was a big deal to me, because my fucking kids aren't going to have a Christmas.
Yeah.
If this annuity doesn't hit by Friday. Okay. And that feeling, and I scrambled around, I ended up getting it done, but that feeling, I went into the holidays, I came back in January, and I said, I'm never doing this again. How is this not incentivizing me to do things? You know what I mean? Like, whether I like it or not, it's controlling my behavior. I'm putting this pressure on the client, undue. January 1st, I went cold turkey on commission, started building a fee-only AUM base, which was difficult. It was very difficult.
Yeah.
I wish I would have left then, but I didn't. I tried doing it in-house, built an AUM business in 2 years. Then that exposed me to more deeper planning. That was difficult there. They don't want you to say the word tax. They want you to pay separately for it. So I'm charging somebody 100 basis points on $1 million, and then I have to go charge them separately for a financial plan. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's dumb.
So I fought them for a couple of years on that, then eventually left. So I started over twice, essentially. But that event at Christmas was the moment where I realized I might be on the wrong side of this. Mm-hmm. And I started looking outside the company, what other people were doing. I was like, shit, like, there's something here. And I left.
That's very similar story, but mine happened a little bit earlier. And I knew it's probably 2015, 2016.
You're a quicker learner than me, bro. Like, everybody.
No, it wasn't. No. I'm older. Look at the buddy of mine. It was one of my first big, you know, whole life insurance policy. Mm-hmm. The guy I kind of trusted to do it, he was just basically telling him to do more, put more into it and all this other stuff. And one time my buddy called me. He was like, hey man, I'm struggling right now. I need to pull back, whatever. And then I said, okay, whatever. And then he started kind of getting emotional and this kind of started screaming a little bit at me. I was like, oh, what's going on? And that day I was like, you know what, man? Like, why did I even do this? Like, it could have been easy just to get a term, call it a day, not put that much pressure on. Just because he may be in a profession that makes pretty good money, doesn't mean he needs it today. But anytime someone hears dentist, doctor, attorney, professional, oh, this is going to be a... This is a nice little premium case right here. How much is going to do 12,000 base and put so much in PUA and all this other stuff? That's the stuff that goes on in the background. They don't give a damn about that person's family. They don't give a damn about that person's life. They will absolutely make this feel like they're in the best interest of the clients, because they believe in their heart of hearts that they're doing what's right, when they know in the fact they're doing it because the business needs it.
Yeah. And here's a really important point to that. All these strategies that are used to sell insurance are never actually implemented. Okay, so it's like, that only works if you continue to overfund it. Someone prompts you to take cash out later, but then pay back. Is that a loan? Is that what really happens? Is I sold this strategy. I'm out of the business in 2 years. you become what's called an orphan. By the way, out there, most of you are orphans. That's what they call you. Orphans. You become an orphan client. No one ever reviews that, changes the allocation, does anything for it. You come back and now someone 60, they calls customer service and said, this guy 25 years ago told me that I would retire with this policy with cash-free money. And they're like, well, you just paid the minimum. Like, no, there's nothing there.
I'm going to say this, man, because and they were, just more power to them. They were against the IULs where I was at, but they were a big whole life group. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you're always going to be what gives you the most margin. You know what I mean? When you look behind the fence, you're like, oh, that's because it pays you the most, right? Yes. And because it's the best product, but it pays you the most. But I remember having these conversations and really trying to figure out, I said, have any of you seen these things actually work? Like, have you gone through a client where they start pulling money out and everything like that? Oh, of course. They give you this one example of this policy back in 1995, and everybody shows the same policy. It's just that one policy throughout the whole organization. And it's like, come on, man. But one thing I'll say is, does it work? Yes, but you have to be diligent. You have to do, you can't mess this up. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Somebody has to be there to do it. And the problem is the guy that sold it to you can't be the same one holding your hand every year because he has to go find a new person to sell something to.
Because he's going to get that 1 or 2% trail.
Our clients pay us every single year. So it actually is more efficient and more revenue forward for me to make sure that they're super happy and stay versus the cost of me going to find a new client to replace them. But if I sell them something, they're not valuable to me the next day. Now I have to spend my time going to find somebody else, and nobody's implementing that fancy strategy that you sold them before. That's like me saying, hey, listen, pay me $12,000 to tell you that Roth conversions are good, and now go figure out how to do them for the next 25 years on your own. That's basically what this is, because they use all these fancy, like, be your own bank and all this stuff, but then no one actually reviews each year how to implement it. And it was just a sale.
Man, I appreciate you joining. We know the whole system is bullshit. We know the whole system is corrupt. We've had this conversation, and I appreciate the time. But I'm going to give you the last word, my friend, to the audience. What would you like? If you could go back when you first started in this business, what would you tell your younger self walking in the door?
Walk right back out. man, listen, I'm going to tell you two things. If you're a young advisor, if you want to be Kevin Thompson, find a Kevin Thompson, find a Rick Lucchini, find somebody like that and say, I will work for nothing or I will work for very little. Teach me how to do this and start building your own little book under their ecosystem. Learn how to do it the right way. That's the right way. And I promise you, you can afford to do that. Because no matter what they promise you, you're going to make sell insurance, it's going to be half of that, and you're going to be struggling. And 5 years from now, you're still going to have to try to find commissions. Whereas 5 years from now, if you're sitting on $10, $12, $15 million of AUM, you've got a nice little business. You can stay with Kevin, or you can spin off of your own business. That's what I tell the young person. Secondly, client. To me, have a doctor give you an analysis and a prescription. Now, that same doctor has a pharmacy in the same office like Kevin, that's fine. Go get it. Go get it filled or go get it, get the prescription filled, but get the prescription from a doctor, then get the prescription filled by the pharmacy. That there's nothing wrong with insurance. It's a lot of people are out there underinsured. What's wrong with it is it's being sold the wrong way. Have the doctor give you the prescription, have the pharmacy fill the prescription. You'll be a lot better off.
Rick, we appreciate it, man. You've opened our eyes. I'm going to say for the consumer, the most important thing is find someone you trust.
Yeah,
find
man.
Someone you care about. Find someone that really loves to work with you and know how they get paid. That's it. If they're not open about how they get paid, move on, find someone else, and then you'll hopefully get somebody that's on your side of the fence that's basically fighting for you.
If it takes more than 30 seconds to explain how they get paid, it's probably more complex than it needs to be, too. I love this, man. Keep this podcast going. People need to hear this stuff.
Man, appreciate you. Thank you.